Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me today. We got Mary Hessler Key with us, ladies and gentlemen. We first knew her way back in 98, March of 98. She was Mary Hessler, and then she got married, and now she's Mary Hessler Key, and she's the author of What Animals Teach Us, as well as co-author of CEO Road Rules. And she's our good friend and longtime Brain Trust member, Mary Hessler Key. Welcome back to the show.
It's great to be on the show again, Jim. How are you today?
Doing great. It's good to have you back. And did you know that next month is our 10th anniversary of you being a member of our Brain Trust?
Oh, am I getting flowers?
Of course. Of course you are.
Valentine's is on my mind, you know.
So I'll take the diamonds back and send flowers instead. It's good to have you back, Mary. And one of the things that I'd like for you to talk to us about is this. There, as you well know, Mary, there have been a number of studies on engagement, and now when they went into the studies, when they started doing the studies, they were looking for engagement. Now that we've seen these, and I've actually have reported on three different studies that on the show. That different groups have done, and they all track pretty closely to each other. So it's a pretty darn good, I think it's pretty much understood that that employees mostly are not engaged in their jobs. So now I think the next day they're gonna have to just call it disengagement, not engagement, because that's what they're finding. But the thing is that I know that you know ways that we can turn that around, that we can change the course, that we can impact our employees so that they can become engaged. And also, I think you can do it without costing too much money. What do you think?
Absolutely. And I think here's a place where the small business owner has a huge advantage over a large corporation.
Yeah.
Think about it. Recently, I merged my practice with the Institute for Corporate Productivity, and part of what we do is research. We did a large study for the American Management Association, and employee engagement is by far one of the biggest issues. So you're taking away people's benefits. You're not insuring them a job for an indefinite amount of time, and there's always that threat of downsizing, especially with today's economy. So One of the places where I think a smaller organization has an advantage is if you can set a policy where people who are high performers, unless something terrible happens to your business, can feel some security. That is a building block to engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not the only part, but it is a building block to engagement. If you don't have trust, you can't have engagement.
Mm-hmm. You know, and by the way, folks, let's slow down for just a second and let me remind you of some of the things that we've seen. And I'm going to do kind of a blend of all three of the reports that I've seen, just in the interest of time, Mary. And I'm going to say that you've got maybe one third or less of your employees are engaged. You've got one third or a little bit more that are maybe about one third that are disengaged, meaning they literally are showing up like zombies and just hanging out at work, maybe even doing damage. And then you got the people in the middle, 35 to 45% or so,
right,
who are somewhat disengaged, meaning they have moments of showing up and then moments where they're not showing up. So basically, less than half of your people, the people who are engaged and the people who are somewhat engaged, only less than half are you hitting on. If you got an 8-cylinder business, you're hitting on 4 cylinders less than half of the time.
Right. Exactly.
And that's a scary number. So, folks, now that you see that, and let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, these are your businesses that were polled. people just like you. Your employees are not that much different from all these other employees if they weren't polled. So we got to do something about this. And
yeah,
so, Mary,
absolutely.
you're saying they've got to have, we got to find a way to make them loyal to us.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, we've talked on your program in the past, and one of the things that we found in our book, CEO Road Rules, Right Focus, Right People, Right Execution, is that having a compelling vision that engages people is really important. This isn't a fake vision that's just a statement that the CEO or president of the company talks about. It's a vision for where are we going, because people spend the majority of their energetic time at
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to just try to help an entrepreneur or business owner get wealthy. They want to feel like they're doing something bigger. So having a bigger vision where you focus on excellence, you focus on being the best, but also the pride in workmanship that people can get from that is a really important element. So one of the first things you can do is a vision.
Well, yeah. I mean, I love what Napoleon is alleged to have said. He said a soldier will fight long and hard for a bit of colored ribbon. He's talking about that vision, isn't he?
Yes, he is, because that bit of colored ribbon means something, and that's the whole thing. I've talked to people who, I've talked to entrepreneurs who say, okay, you know, we're going to be at $500 million in 2005. And that's their vision. Well, who does that motivate? Unless I'm an owner in the company,
right.
that is not a colored ribbon.
Right.
But if I know that we're going to be voted one of the best places to work in our community,
mm-hmm.
That gives me pride.
Or I show them or I demonstrate to them how we're number one in our industry or
right.
in our market or whatever.
Right.
And, and I attribute it to them.
Yeah, and you show them where they do fits in. And see, this is the thing that's very, very interesting and why a lot of consultants like myself and others make money. It's amazing to me how people don't take time to translate things. They make assumptions that because I say something, that people are going to really get it. And so I was interviewing a CEO about why he was so effective in what he's done. And he's been just by all standards, internally and externally, just a very, very effective guy. And I said, well, how do you do it? He goes, well, I communicate our vision and tell people where they fit into it. I communicate our vision and tell people where they fit into it. The point is repetition.
Well, you know, back to Napoleon's story, he would bring in the lowest ranking private and make his generals give that private his plan, their plan. And if
right.
the private couldn't understand it, he wouldn't let the generals proceed with the plan.
Yeah.
They had to be able to explain it to the lowest private in the unit. Stand by, quick break, right back with Mary Key right after these messages. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for staying with me today. Mary Key is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She is the author of What Animals Teach Us and co-author of CEO Road Rules. And we're talking about how to make sure that as you work with your employees, that you make sure that you've done everything you can do to get them engaged. Mary, before we go any further, though, I'd like for you to give us your website, please.
Yes, it's CEORoadRules.com.
All right, and they can find more about the books there too, can't they?
Yes, absolutely.
So check that out.
Thank you for asking. You know, your song, Dream Lover, is very appropriate to what we were talking about. It was one of the first things.
By the great Bobby Darin, the late great Bobby Darin, by the way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's about vision. And, of course, in the song, he's outlining his vision for his dream lover, and I think that a great leader outlines a compelling vision for why are we doing this, where are we going, how are we going to benchmark that. And I think the second thing, Jim, is to be really clear with what performance expectations you have of me and showing me as your employee how that fits into the bigger picture. The third part of it is you've got to reward and recognize me. And on the break, you know, you and I were talking a little bit about
mm-hmm.
how we remember bosses from way back. I mean, I talk to people that have saved in folders notes they got 20 years ago.
I have those.
Right. And so you know, we're talking about having a tight budget, sitting and writing a note, even if it's an email. But I'll tell you, the handwritten note still goes far, even with technology-oriented young people, because people just love that.
Well, and let me throw something else out at you. I mean, I agree with you about the handwritten note, but I'll tell you, there are a lot of small businesses out there where it's like an ant farm. You know, I mean, people are so close
that
there are no sneezes that go unheard. You know, in some of these businesses, and simply a good job, job, John. Good job, Sue. Those three words, good job and their name, is amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing how much of a bit of colored ribbon that can be.
It is. And I also think, though, if you've got a team and you don't want to single out anybody, and that's kind of what I'm hearing in your comment, that team recognition, you know, set a goal. This is where we need to be this quarter. Let's all have pizza tonight. Let's all whatever. Thank you so much. You know, just a little symbol. Like I've seen, you know, people give out like a little poem that's inspirational, that's not a successory kind of thing, and write a little note on it, and all the team members get it. You know, stuff like that is so engaging for people. The other thing that's really important is not just what you do, but what you have to stop.
Right.
If you have a performer that's not engaged, and you continue to accept that behavior in a small business, you're making a big mistake.
Well, you actually, whether you realize it or not, you're rewarding bad behavior.
Exactly.
And that is a rotten egg in a barrel, isn't it? I mean, a rotten apple in a barrel.
Exactly. And so, you know, what I tell entrepreneurs I work with is let's make three columns. What are the things that you need to start doing to engage employees? What are the things you need to stop doing? And what are the things you're already doing? Things that need to stay, so that they have a map of how we're going to do this. But in this day and age, if anybody says, I just can't afford to be doing all this stuff for employees because I'm a small business, that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there are so many things that can be done one of the things that I try to tell people, Mary, as much as I can, is help your employees be successful in their assignments. I think that's a big part of engagement, Mary, is for people to feel that even though they're a little part of a bigger group, if they can be successful in their assignment, that's the fulfillment part of their life. I mean, that's their profession. And whatever you can do, whether if it's education, if it's a book, some advice or whatever, a tool, whatever it can be, whatever you can do to help them be successful in their assignment.
Right.
That is a very important part of engagement, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes if you're the president of the company and entrepreneurial, some things come naturally to you that are more difficult to break down. So as your business grows, encouraging you to take a look at who is the kind of person that can complement my skill set. So if I'm not really good at breaking down assignments, I have somebody on my team that is.
Because we're not supposed to be good at everything. Nobody is supposed to be good at everything. And even if you are, if you're the owner, you don't have time to do all that stuff.
Exactly. And so, you know, in the spirit of the E-Myth and things that Gerber talks about in terms of making your business more scalable, really looking at, okay, what are the practices and procedures that we know really work? So I think also a way you can motivate and create ownership is there are certain employees who are models for best practices. To give them a chance to mentor and teach others and to maybe organize that is a huge way of creating ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't always have to be done by people in, quote, a management role.
Right, right, exactly. Mary, I've got to wrap it up, unfortunately, because we've run out of time. It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show. And next time you're with us, we're going to celebrate our 10th anniversary. How about that?
Oh, that'll be great.
Thanks a lot for being here. Good job today.
Have a wonderful day, and don't
you
forget,
too.
Create engagement.
Thank you, Mary. Mary Key, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back, I promise. We're going to have our 11th year coming up with her. Actually, got to take a quick break. I'm going to be right back with Bill Connerly. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.